come on and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come on, open up your mouths and bless the Lord. Come on, come on, if he's worthy. Is he worthy to you? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Come on. Let that be a worship that come out of your mouth to tell of his goodness, to tell of his kindness, to tell of his grace and his mercy. Lord, we thank you. Father, we praise you for your presence, for your spirit that is already in this place. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Our worship is not predicated on what you will do for us. Our worship is predicated on you being who you are. You are Jehovah, the relational God. The God that comes close. The one that can't be defined just by one name. We worship you. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. And all of God's people said, come on and clap those hands real good. Come on, clap those hands real good for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, give him a praise that's due to a king, a holy king, a righteous king. Come on, give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Oh my. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a good day to be alive and to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. For those that are watching online, thank you so much for tuning in to watch us via Facebook Live or YouTube. You did not have to be here, but we're so glad that God orchestrated your fingertips to meet us here at 408 East Main Street. And if you have not already, go ahead and share this. Go ahead and tag that friend that's been telling you for 20 years they're going to come to church with you and ain't came yet. Go ahead and send them and say, this is your invitation to join me in service this morning. If you're in the building, get those phones out and become a virtual evangelist and share the Hopewell experience, so that others can be blessed by what God has already done and what is about to do. I'm continually in this place this morning. All of our first-time guests, we're so glad that you're here. Worship with us this morning. Come on, Hopewell, help me praise God for all of our first-time guests and all of our frequent flyers. Amen. We're so glad that you are here worshiping with us today. And I echo Elder Kendrick's words. We're going to pray selfishly that the Lord leads you here to the well. Amen. Where the Spirit of God never runs dry. I am just overjoyed and excited to see so many familiar faces, to see some sons of the well that are here in the house. Amen. So glad to have Elder Eli and his family here with us. Come on, give it up to them and give it up for them again. I tell you, when he was here for med prep program, Kaylin was just in pre-K kindergarten, walking around here like she was the assistant pastor of Hopewell with no salary. When they got out the car yesterday, I said, this cannot be the same little girl that's almost taller than me. I remember going to the hospital after Lucretia had Sydney, and here she is walking in the house. Hey, Uncle Swims, I ain't seen you in 2 years. I hugged her right on back. Hey, honey, how you doing? But just so good to have them home. God has blessed Hopewell. Oh, yes, he has. For 121 years with some amazing people that have come through these doors. And like I always say, it's Team Hopewell for Life. Does not make a difference where they go. I know Pastor Chris Harris and the Bright Star Church of God in Christ family thing. Eli and Lucretia is there. Is amen. But they're Baptist and Kojic. Amen. They're Bojic. Praise God. They're both of them. We're just so glad to see them. Then I saw tilt around the corner, the one and only Elder Chester Romel Hood is in the house. Boy, I tell you, we were ordained together back in March 2007. Yeah, 2007. But we done rolled the ropes together, and it's just wonderful to see when our sons and daughters leave here from the well and they launch out there and they go and do amazing things, but they always know how to find their way back home. Then I looked over there to my left and I saw Brother Sean and Sister Portia and Vinnie Valentino and Gavin. I said, well, this is just a mini reunion. I mean, I tell you, Sean, I don't know how many times we done made turnaround trips to Chicago for a service, a funeral, whatever it was. I say, Sean, I need you to ride me. What time you coming to pick me up? He already knew. The only driving I was going to do is when I came to get you. After that, my car is in your hands. And I was sleep the whole way to Chicago there. We did what we had to do. We stopped at Harold's, got some chicken, came on back, and I was sleep all the way back until, amen, we got back to the house. Amen. But just faithful, loyal. Portia worked with our children's choir. She had the babies up here singing. I mean, just wonderful. Then I saw Elder Corey Edward Cawthon come in. Oh, just awesome, awesome, awesome. Served faithfully at the well. And I know technically, once again, you know, he was born into the grand old Church of God in Christ, but he got a little Baptist blood in him too. Amen. And just faithful sons that don't mind stopping by. It doesn't have to be anything big going on. They just come by and come to be with us, and I'm so grateful. I know, I thought I saw Shamira somewhere. I see the evangelist. Amen. We done did plenty of funerals here at the well, church hopping, all of that good stuff. Just faithful sons and daughters of the world. Hopewell, can you help me praise God for just a small snippet of our sons and daughters that are here with us this morning? So glad, so glad, so glad, so glad that they're here. There is a word from the Lord. Get your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. This won't be your usual ordination message, but we're just going to go with what the Lord has given us. John chapter 6, verses 2 through 13. John 6, verses 2 through 13. It's just good to be amongst family this morning in the house of God. John 6, 2 through 13. When you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, just say Reverend, wait on me. Oh, y'all quick. Y'all got it. Here it is. It says, a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, 6 months to be exact, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. He says, "I just saw on Snapchat that there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The man alone numbered about 5,000 people. When you include the women and the children, theologians say it was around 15,000 people. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, the preacher gonna preach about make it enough." Turn to your other neighbor and say, "Neighbor, the preacher gonna preach about make it enough." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. My second all-time favorite movie, the first one, Brother Moses, being the legendary Color Purple. But my second favorite movie, Mama Rita, would have to be, don't judge me because you done watched it too. It's Friday, the first Friday. They came out in 95, not Friday after next, but Friday that it came out in 1995. If you remember, there's a part in the movie where Smokey Mom calls him into the room and say, hey, go buy me some cigarettes. And she gives him some money and he says, that's not enough. And she looks back at Smokey and said, She said, make it enough. Smokey is sitting there trying to figure out, what in the world am I going to do? Mama, don't you realize inflation done went up? What you gave me is not going to be enough to include with taxes to be able to get what you need. And she paused the conversation that she was having with her friend about what happened the night before and said, hold on a minute, boo. And she looked at him and said, make it enough. This is the same thing that Jesus is challenging his disciples to do, is to make it enough. Jesus has just finished preaching, doing great ministry. Bible says that he finds time to be able to sit down with his disciples to be able to share and to teach with them. It was Jewish custom that whenever the rabbi would teach, they would sit down to be able to almost turn into the first small groups to be able to intimately engage with those that were sitting at their feet to be able to learn what the teacher had to say. The teacher did not want to be far away from the students. He wanted to make sure that he was close so that the students can be able to receive everything that he had to say. Jesus is there, and I love it so much because Jesus, even though while doing ministry, he was always discerning the need around those that was around him. He was always alert about what was happening around him, and not just around him, but he was always aware, Deacon Baker, about what was going on with the people that were around them and the needs that they had and how he could be able to help do and bring in their lives what had to be done. Here, Jesus shows us what Tim Elmore in his book, The Eight Paradoxes of Great Leadership, he shows here visible leadership and invisible leadership. Jesus knows exactly when to be able to step up, Elder Williams, and to be on the scene, to be able to be the example that he desires for his disciples to be able to follow. But Jesus also knows how to master invisible leadership. Everybody say invisible leadership. He knows how to master invisible leadership on how to set up the scene and how to set up the plate so that the other leaders have an opportunity to be able to grow and to do greater works than what he did. And so he sits there around with his disciples and he asks them the question. He looks around and see what is going on. And he turns to Philip, the disciple, and say, where can we get bread to feed all these people? Now, granted, you have to understand, I've told you once before, that whenever Jesus asks the question, he already know what the answer is. He's asking a question because he really wants us to be able to think this thing out. He really wants us to take the time to look at every resource that we have. He's looking to see, can we take the time to really investigate and to dig deep and to see how is Jesus desiring to use me in the midst of this problem that I have? He already knew what was on Philip's mind. He already knew what Philip was going to say. He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. But he asked the question, where can we buy bread to feed these people? Okay. Have you ever been presented with an impossible situation and Jesus asks you, even though he's the one that created the heavens and the earth, even though he's the one that touched coffins and people rise up, even though he was the one that took Peter's mother-in-law's hand and instantaneously her fever left, he will ask us sometimes, what are you going to do about this? Knowing what he's already going to do, but he asked us the question, what are you going to do about this? Have you ever had Jesus ask you a question? You're trying to figure out, you asking me what I'm going to do about this. I'm asking you what you're going to do about this. You said that you are Jehovah, the great I am. You said that you are Jehovah, the one that comes close. Why are you asking me what I'm going to do? I'm asking, well, what you going to do, Jesus?
Jesus is always looking, not just in the life of the disciples in the Bible. He's always looking for opportunities in our lives where he can create moments for us to be able to step up to the plate and to be able to grow in our faith in God, but also to participate in the story that God is writing in our lives. Where can we get bread to feed all these people? I love it. Just for a few minutes, I hope I get done today. But if I do not get done, come back next Sunday, amen, for part two of the message. But here it is. Jesus shows us some things here. But if we are going to make it enough, we make it enough. Here it is, saints of God. Here it is in verse 7 and 9. Jesus shows us that if we're going to make it enough, we have to see it before we seize it. It's right there in the text. We have to see it. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the preacher just said, if you're going to make it enough, you're going to have to see it before you seize it. Here it is. Philip replied to Jesus when he asked the question, where are we going to get bread to feed all these people? Philip replied, even if we worked for 6 months, we wouldn't have enough money to be able to feed it. But I like this conversation and this dialogue, Elderhood, because Simon Peter, brother Andrew comes on the scene and he spoke up and says, but there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is it if we have this huge of a crowd? Andrew says, Philip says, we will have to work six months to be able to have enough food to be able to feed all these people. We would have to work 6 months and do a little bit of overtime and maybe pick up a second job on the way back home in order to be able to feed 15,000 people. But Andrew says, but there is a little boy here that has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But Peter says, we will have to work 6 months in order for us to be able to do what needs to be done. Jesus, this is darn near impossible for us to feed 15,000 people. But Andrew says, but there's a little boy here that's been walking around, and I've seen him walking around in the parking lot on the church security camera, and he has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But Philip says, this does not make any sense at all. We would have to work 6 months in order to be able to feed 15,000 people. But Andrew said, hey, I get that, Philip, but there's a little boy here that mom sent him with a lunchbox with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Philip says, I cannot see why we're going to be able to do this. Andrew says, I see it because I see a little boy that God has allowed for his steps to come right to where we are that has 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Soon you'll catch on to what I'm saying. Philip says, this is darn near impossible. We don't have enough money for the vision. Andrew says, God, who is Jehovah, who is El Shaddai, who is Jehovah Jireh, our provider, has just shown up with a little boy that came by here with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Swims, get to your point so we can get to the ordination. I'm saying sometimes you have to see it before you seize it. You may not be able to have it tangible in your hands right there in front of you, but if God said, I will make a way out of no way, I don't care what's going on around me and what folks are saying that we don't have, I believe by faith that we will have more than if God said, I will pay your tuition, if God said, I will provide all of your needs, I don't have to wait until I have it in my hand. I have to see it before our season. What are you saying, Pastor? God is calling for us to stretch out our faith in him and to believe him for the impossible, not based off what we see, but based off what we heard. I believe what God has said. I know what God has promised me. And no matter how things may look, no matter how things may feel, I'm holding on to what God has said, and I'm going to see it before I seize it. But here's the other point, though, that go along with that. You got to be careful that you don't surround yourself with negative people that can never see how God can do the impossible. Now, granted, you need folks that can be analytical. You need people that can come with the facts. You need people that can say, you know what? I know what you want to do. And we all need those people in our lives. I know what you want to do, but this is what it's going to cost. This is what it's going to take. And we just don't see how that's going to be able to fit in line what we got to do. You're right. That's right. I get it. But I believe that God may be trying to stretch our faith to a point that we can be able to launch out there in the deep, that we have played it on the shore for so long, and we've majored how to be able to control the shore that we've been on. But maybe, just maybe, that God wants to take us out and launch us out into the deep to be able to believe him for something that we have never seen before. And I understand your logic. It makes perfect sense. Your math is math. 1 + 1 = 2. But I believe that if I will put my trust in God and believe in God, that God can be able to make up the difference. What are you saying, Pastor? I have to be able to see it. Thank you, Everly. I missed you last week. Before you seize it. That before I lay my hands on it and get to the finish line, I have to already see myself getting to the finish line. I have to already see myself. Come on here, graduate students. Come on here, med prep students. I have to already see myself and imagine myself. I already got my white coat, but I see myself and imagine myself walking into what God has promised me. Here it is. If you're going to make it enough, it's not just enough for you to be able to see it before you seize it. Here it is. I like this part. You have to thank him in advance. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, when's the last time you told God thank you? Think about that for a second. When's the last time you told God thank you? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Philip comes and say, hey, the reality of the matter is this. We would have to work 6 months in order to be able to have enough food, money to buy food for all these people. Andrew says, hey, there's a little boy here that we can hijack his lunch and use the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread that he has in there. So, Jesus says, all right, I see what you're saying. Now go tell everybody to sit down. Go tell everybody to chill. Let them know, hey, we're getting ready to say grace. We're getting ready to eat. Tell everybody to know. Tell everybody to go. Tell everybody to go and sit down. Now, this makes absolutely no sense, because here it is. You got 15,000 people that have been kicking it with Jesus. They have been listening to him teach, listening to him preach. They don't get hungry about this time. One of the other gospels says that one of the disciples suggests, hey, just send them on home on their way back. They can stop off at Exit 18 and go and get them something to eat from Texas Roadhouse. He says, no, I want you to feed them. He puts the responsibility back on the disciples and asking them, what are you going to do to be able to fix this issue? What are you going to be able to do to take care of this problem? So Jesus tells everybody to sit down. I like this, because he tells everybody to sit down. And what do the people do? They sat down on the grassy slopes. Here it is. They're sitting down by faith, not even recognizing the fact that they ain't got nothing to feed us. They're sitting down trusting the leadership of Jesus and the disciples and not knowing where their next meal is going to come. I don't know who I came to preach to this morning, but sometimes all you need to do is just sit down and trust God. If God told you to chill out, chill out. If God told you I'm going to intervene, he's going to intervene. If Jesus says I'm going to give you peace, all right, God, I take your peace, but I really want your provision. But he says, I just want you to trust me. This is something that you may not be able to have your hands on and have control of. I just need you to sit down real quick and trust me to know, if I have never failed you before, surely I would allow you to get to this point in your life and fail you now. Well, Pastor, I'm in the fourth quarter of the year and I thought God was going to do this. It's been prophesied that this was happening and that will happen. All you need to do is just sit down, because God is not moved by our time. God is not moved by what we think. God is not moved by our calendar. If he said he's going to do it, by George, God is going to do it. And all we have to do is just sit down and rest in God. Well, how can I rest in God when I'm anxious? How can I rest in the master when I have anxiety? I can rest in God when I look back at his track record and I realize back in the first quarter of 2023, I had some challenges, but Jehovah showed up and made a way out of no way. And then we get to the second quarter of 2023. and 23, I had some challenges, but Jehovah Jireh showed up once again. And then I get to the third quarter of the year and have some stuff jump off, and he shows up again, Daniel. So surely the same God that showed up the first time, the second time, and the third time, he's going to show up this time. And I know who I'm talking to this morning, but you better get ready, because the game is on right now. Sometimes the best basketball game was not in the first, second, or third quarter. It was in the fourth quarter when it was almost down to the last, and you're looking at the shot clock and there's one more shot, and you have all the pressure on that one. Jesus is the one that will make the difference this time. Tell your neighbors today, well, just sit down. Tell your neighbor, say, sit down. You're worrying yourself for nothing. Sit down. You've been anxious for nothing. Sit down. Tells them. And what do the people do? 15,000 people. Sit down. On the grassy slopes. Anticipating food. And the disciples, Elder Williams, is looking and saying, all we got is two fish, son, and five loaves of bread. All we got is two pieces of catfish we got from Harold since they've been back open. Praise God. They back open, baby. Come on. And five biscuits we got from the all-you-can-eat shrimp and Red Lobster. And we got 15,000 people. Jesus stands before the people. He took the bread. He said to his father, God, this is all we got. Two fish, five loaves of bread, and 15,000 people. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know you're going to do something. And I've been with you long enough to know that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. I've been with you long enough that I know your track record, that you may not come when I want you. Come on here, Dollar Peoples. But that you will show up right on time. So he takes what he has. He takes it and holds it up to his father, and he thanks him for what they already had. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, when's the last time you thanked them? Notice this, saints, in the text. The text does not say that they were waiting, to thank him for the miracle of abundance that he was about to bring in their lives. They took the little bit that they had, the two fish and the five loaves of bread, and said, Father, whatever you don't do or what you will do, we thank you for what we already have. Y'all miss it. When's the last time that you paused your prayer and said, let me step back, because maturity has taught me something about God? I'm not going to go into a full discourse and thank God for what I want him to do or what I know that he will do. But I'm going to take a praise break and pause real quick and praise God and thank God for what he has already given me in my hands. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what's in your hands? Say, neighbor, what's in your hands? Say, neighbor, what's in your hands? He does not want you to thank him for what he's about to give you. He wants you to thank you for what's already in your hand. Well, Pastor, what I have in my hand is not much. But don't you realize that little becomes much in the hands of God? I don't have to wait until I have more to be able to thank him. I'm going to thank him for the little bit of car that I already have. I'm going to thank him for the little house that I have. I'm going to thank him for the little bit of money that I have in my bank account right now. I'm going to thank him for the little bit of relationship. I'm going to thank him for the little bit that I have in my life right now, because regardless of what God will do tomorrow, regardless of what God will do by the end of
of this year. I thank God right now for what he has placed in my hand. When's the last time you thank God for what you had in your hand? Pastor, it's not much. It doesn't have to be much. But when's the last time? I'm going to give you 30 seconds to thank God for what you have in your hand right now. I know your car might be busted. I know your roof might need to be fixed. But God, I thank you for what I already have. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to open up your mouth and to thank him for what you already have right now. Because you know, thank you make room for more. Thank you make room for more. Thank you make room for more. I'm still waiting on you. God wants to hear. Let me hear you thank me for what I've already done right now. I know your job and they're getting on your nerves, but you have a job. Thank me for the job right now. I know your car is broke down. Thank me for the car that you have right now. Thank me for what I've already done.
Come on, let that thing catch fire. Come on, thank him. Thank him. I know your kids getting on your nerves, but God, thank you that they're still here, God. Thank you, you're protecting them, God. Come on, come on, come on. Open up your mouth and thank him. Here it is. He thanks him. He takes it. He holds it up to God. And he gives thanks. Bible says, from him taking the little bit that he had and thanking God for it, Sister Jeffro, he takes it and he distributes it to the people. Here it is. If you're going to make it enough, you're going to have to see it before you see it. You have to thank him in advance. But here it is. I like this part right here. Sometimes you have to participate in your own need. Got to participate. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you have to participate in your own need. Here it is. Jesus could have done all of this, Mother Albritton, by himself. But he chooses, Robin, to include the disciples to participate in the need that they have. Because sometimes participating in your own need helps you to appreciate what God does for you. If you buy your child a brand new car and you gift them the car, and you say, everything has been taken care of. Insurance has been paid for the year. Here's a gas card. Whenever you need gas, just go pull up on them and just fill up and just walk away. There is a greater appreciation if you gift them the car, but give them some responsibility along with the car, because they have a greater appreciation for what they have. If you give them a gas card and they just swipe it, stay see it, oh man, they will have a good time. They will drive and drive and drive and drive. But when you flip that thing and they have to participate, Jerrion, in fueling their own vehicle with gas, they're not riding around town. They're not going back and forth to Marion when they realize that gas is $3.59, $4.85, $3.79. They are conscious about where they go. Jesus says, disciples, I could have did this on my own, but I need you and the 15,000 plus people to participate in your own need. They sit down. Look at verse 11. Look at the latter part of verse 11. They sit down. Jesus distributed the fish, and they all ate as much as they
wanted.
Philip said, it'll take us 6 months to do this. Andrew said, but there's a boy with two fish and five loaves of bread. In other words, Andrew said, there's a ram in the bush that God has placed in the thicket that's going to be used to bring us provision. But our provision, thank you, Holy Spirit, is predicated on our obedience to follow his instructions, how he say to do it, when he says to do it. Sometimes God is ready and willing, Brother Brian, to move supernaturally on our behalf, but pauses because we refuse to participate. Could it be the promotion is ready if you just interview? Could it be the next open door is by you going to seek out an application to fill it out and submit it and watch God move on your behalf? Could our lack of participation be hindering the next move that God desires to do in our lives? Here it is. Sometimes we're more concerned about the outputs, the end results, more than we are about the inputs. If we focus on the inputs, the outputs will happen. But the outputs won't happen until there's some inputs. The results and the plans that we desire to come to pass, Sister Ross, may not always happen because we have not done any work to lead up to results. I can pray and anoint myself with oil every day. I'ma say it. And believe by faith that I'ma lose 15 pounds by the end of the week. I can stand in faith, but if there is no discipline input, if there's no exercise input, if there's no eating right input, there will be no output of results of losing 15 pounds. So here I stand, bald and heavy. Because there's no input to lead to an output. There's an unwillingness to participate in my own need.
That's heavy. That's heavy.
Jesus says, sit down. God, we thank you for what we have. He hands it out, and they eat more than they need. Verse 12. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces, filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. I am going to make it enough. Here's the last thing, and here's your shout. Expect him to take him from not enough to too much. And I close the book. I'm expecting him to take me from not enough to too much. Okay. Y'all still don't believe me. If I'm going to make it enough, I'm going to participate in my own need. I'm going to see it before I seize it. I'm going to thank him in advance. But I am going to expect him by faith to take me from lack to walking in prosperity. Okay, y'all got bothered with that word. I'm going to expect him to take me from lack, Mother Tessie, and to take me from lack to take me to more than enough. And I love it because once again, this more than enough that Jesus allows to be able to happen in their lives, it does not just impact them. Jesus says, go and collect the leftovers. I want you to gather the baskets. I want you to put some to-go containers together for everybody so that every 15,000 people walked away with a doggy bag. Everybody that has showed up, everybody that had followed instructions, everybody that had been faithful, everybody that has done what they, I don't know who I'm prophesying to right now, everyone who has shown up and did what was asked. God says, because you came and did what I required and requested of you, not only am I going to feed you, not only am I going to fill you up while you're here, but I'm going to make sure that when you leave here, lack will not be your portion. But I'm going to take you and everybody that's connected to you, I'm going to take y'all for being experienced and not enough to more. But I need you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, from this day forward, my lack days are over today. Oh, y'all didn't say that with some gumption and belief. I don't care where you are in your life right now. I need you to tell another neighbor and say, neighbor, today is the last day I walk in lack. Oh, if you watch it online, I need you to tell yourself, move your table and say, today is the last day that I walk in. This is the last day that I will be broke like this. This will be the last time that I will be broke. This will be the last time I will be this broke financially, mentally, physically. This will be the last time, because the next time you see me, I'm walking in the overflow, the fullness of God. I'm walking in the land of milk and honey. I'm walking in more than enough. If you believe that, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Woo! I said, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Come on, fire your three people and tell them, this is the last time. 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 You didn't find the right name, but tell them, this is the last time. I don't care that I'm in college. This is the last time that you, I will beat this road. This is the last time I will be struggling. This is the last time. From this day forward, my God is going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Give God praise. This is the last time. 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 This is the, I'm not entering 2024 being broken down. This is the last time. Here it is. Let me help us so that we can be boundless disciples. This will be the last time I struggle like this again. Because an input for the output is going to be discipline. But I'm going to strive to be fiscally, biblically responsible of what God has entrusted into my hands. No more spending my money on dumb stuff. but I'm going to use discipline. I ain't got to order from Amazon every week. I ain't got to eat out every day. I can take leftovers for lunch, make me a sandwich, or fast. I ain't got to eat out every day. Because when I accept that challenge, then I can rightfully put a praise and a dance on it. Because I'm willing to put in the work to make the proclamation that I'll never be broke another day in my life.
Come on, that's good. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
For those that have been faithful, God's going to provide. For those that have been faithful, those that have been faithful, God is going to provide for you. What you have done in secret, God's going to reward you openly. Folks have been seeing your struggles. Folks have been seeing what has happened privately. But God sent me here to tell you that because you have been faithful, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have enough room to receive it. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, this is the last time that you will see me like this. Say, neighbor, not only am I blessed, but everybody that's connected to me is blessed as well. Say, neighbor, you at the right place, at the right time, in the right seat. Because I was talking to you that because I'm blessed, everybody that's connected to me is blessed too. Aren't you sitting by me? Aren't you next to me? So because you in my vicinity, when God brings me out, we ain't gotta wait till the battle is over. We can shout right now. You ain't gotta wait until you see it. You can seize it right now. You ain't gotta wait till the battle is over. But you can give God praise right now. I'm gonna give you 15 seconds to get your feet ready and to put a dance on it and say, God, I'm begging you in advance for what you are about to do in my and in the lives of everybody that's connected with me. Come on and give them praise. Come on, turn the organ up if you can. I want to hear it in the house. Let them hear it on Jackson Street. Let them hear it on Main Street. Woo! If you can't dance,
lift those hands, lift those hands, lift those hands. Come on. Come on, lift those hands. Open up your mouths. Hallelujah. 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 This will be the last time. This is the last time. It's the last time. It's the last time. God's gonna make it enough. He's gonna take me from lack to living in more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There may be someone here today that you have no idea how you're going to make it. You may have even used a little bit of gas that you got in your car today to get here to church. God is going to kick down doors for you. God is going to be who he says that he is. And he's going to provide. He's going to provide for you. Lack is not just the absence of resources. Lack is a mindset. And it will be a shame to walk into more than enough with a lack mindset. Because what God has blessed you with, you'll get stingy with it. Because you're not used to having more than enough. So I don't know how to function, so I got to be safe and guard what I have. God wants to change your mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because it's not just with you, it's generationally. And you've learned from those before you. That's just how whatever we got in abundance, we kept it. Because we didn't know when lack was going to come again. You, thank you, Holy Spirit, can be the one that breaks that mindset, not just for your generation, but for the generations to come. That they will have more than enough, but know how to handle more than enough with the right mind. This is the last time. It's the last time. And I'd be like this. Because he's going to make it more than enough. No matter what stage in life that you're in, if you're a student, if you're single, if you're a single parent, if you're married, does not make a difference. He's going to make it more than enough for you. If you're here and if you're watching online and you're not saved, today can be your day of salvation.